Well, as I was saying before we started the service, I'll be your guest speaker this evening. I'm standing in for Pastor Mark because he's away at a missionaries conference. So let us go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, we just look forward to what you're going to do here this evening, Lord. And I just want to encourage you all to go ahead and take that time of prayer and pray out to the Lord now. Lord, we just commit this time over to you now as we've come to gather in your name, and just pray that you bless it, minister to us as we gather around your word, that bread of life, in Jesus' name, and we all say amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I just got to tell you something, that's a real blessing to come up and worship and then open it up for prayer, and the Lord's words are ringing in my head. My house shall be called a house of prayer, says the Lord. And just, you know, everybody just praying out. Now, Pastor Mark must be blessed every week when he opens it up like that. Anyways, it's a new year. And I thought that we would focus on new things. Charles, this is called All Things New, the title of this sermon. And we're going to cover a few things. One, the mercy of the Lord, how it is new every day. We're going to look at the new covenant, and we're going to look at being born again or our new lives. We're going to look at the result of our new lives and how we sing new songs, and then we're going to take a look at the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem tonight. And it's only appropriate because it's a new year and all things are new. And Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new." So we're going to take a look at all the new things that have taken place that we've taken and received. And we're going to take a look at the new things that we get excited about that are forthcoming. So with that being said, let's go ahead and open our word to Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. And I'm going to read out of my New Living Translation here, verse 23 through 26. Says this: "The unfailing love of the Lord never ends." Are y'all there yet? Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. "The unfailing love of the Lord never ends. By his mercies, we have been kept from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh or new each day. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for him and seek him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. His mercies are new every day." What a blessing and a privilege to be part of that. And his mercies, I want to take a look regarding that in Colossians with you. Now, if you'll jump over to Colossians with me, we are going to do a lot of jumping around this evening to cover all this. Colossians 1, verse 17. Colossians 1, verse 17. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. I'm going to start at verse 15. "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before God made anything at all and is supreme over all creation. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Kings, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities. Everything has been created through him and for him." I love that we're made for him. He existed before everything else, and he holds all creation together. And the King James says that through him, everything consists. But it literally, if you literally look at that, it literally means that he holds us together. Can you kind of, it's hard for me to get my arms around it, but I think of it like this, and I'm going to make my point in a minute, so just bear with me, that he holds our very molecule. Have you ever wondered what does make molecules attract, hold together, and form us as a person and everything consist? Well, the Bible says that the Lord does. He literally holds our very being together. And I say all that to say this, is that when I think of that, I instantly start thinking like a Pharisee and go, well, what about the bad people in the world? Why is he holding all them together? And I realized that I'm really happy that the Lord decided to hold me together till I got saved. and I realize his mercy. And that's why I went here with this, because I just wanted to share that thought with you, that his mercy is beautiful. And I, for one, and I know all of you here, are grateful that you get it. You simply get it. You understand the miracle. You understand you received what God has done for you. And what we need to remember at all times is that that is a gift. That's a miracle every time one of us gets it and understands it. That's his mercy. His mercies are new every day. And that doesn't stop once we become a believer, because we become perfect. His mercies are new every day, and we praise the Lord for that, right? Amen? Every day we praise him for his mercies. We have bad days, don't we? Where we just trudge through it and go, Lord, I need a new start. Well, he says, you got it. Tomorrow you get a new start every day. And I'm going to extend my mercies to you. Every day we get to start over and start serving the Lord. Fresh start. I love that. I love his mercy. And regarding the Pharisee attitude, I want to bring you to some scripture on that, just because I felt led. It really doesn't have a whole lot to do with our study. But it's important that we don't adapt it. It's important. I read it all the time just to keep myself in check. I've been saved 9 years. The Lord has taken an awful lot of things out of my life. And as he develops and he brings us along and kind of cleans us up a little bit, we have a tendency to look on another person that isn't as perfected or mature as you in your walk or something. So let's all take a look at this, because I think we can all use this. Let's take a look at Luke 8, Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18. Verses 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And Jesus told this story to some who had great self-confidence and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a dishonest tax collector. The proud Pharisee stood by himself. Get that? He stood by himself. And in the King James it says, he prayed to himself, or prayed by himself. In other words, the Lord wasn't even in it. Because there was pride there, and prayed this prayer: I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else, especially like that tax collector over there. For I never cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery, I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest with sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you this, not the Pharisee returned home justified before God, for the proud will be humbled and the humbled will be honored. Isn't that beautiful? That's how we need to stay. We need to stay before the throne room of God and say, have mercy on me. Be merciful to me according to your word. Let your mercies be new in my life every day. We need to stay there with our attitude. That's attractive. That's attractive to a non-believer, instead of walking around going, thank you that I'm not like that pagan over there. I'm not hanging out over there or this or that or judging people as we walk in life. And I know that none of you do that, but I'm just preaching to myself here, okay? But it's a beautiful thing to get away from that, because you know what? I think one of the most attractive things about a believer is someone that just loves the Lord and not walking around judging people, but just loving on people. I'm not talking about jumping into sin with other people. I'm talking about just loving them the way they are, because God loved us while we were yet still sinners. You know, so we should be like God in that aspect and just love people just the way they are. The Lord, it's the Lord's job to change people. Amen. Okay. With that being said, I'd like to move on to our second point here, the new covenant and being born again. I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians. We're going to get a workout tonight. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, and I read out of the New Living Translations. I hope that's not slipping you guys up. I actually studied with the King James, but I read out of the New Living Translation. I love it. Have you guys tried it yet, the New Living Translation? Anyways, it's actually a translation, and it's very close to the Hebrew and Greek. And so far, I haven't found it a whole lot, anything really wrong with the translation. But I haven't gone through the whole thing. But anyways, here it is in the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, with that being said, I was going to quote that to you, but that's okay. I just did. Let's jump over to Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 24. Ephesians 4. Verse 17 through 24 says this, and I read a little bit around my key verse because there's so much there for us to glean from. With the Lord's authority, let me say this. Live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong, and they have given themselves over to immoral ways. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. But that isn't what you were taught when you learned about Christ. Since you have heard all about Him and have learned the truth that is in Jesus, throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. Righteous, holy, and true. Righteous, holy, and true, says the scriptures about you. I just made that up. No, righteous, holy, and true. We need to stick that in our heads. Righteous, holy, and true. That's what the Word of God says. So, you know, because we're made righteous and made right in Jesus' name. We're holy because He has made us holy. And we need to walk in truth just to exemplify Christ. Holy, righteous, and true. I love that. Turn with me to Colossians 3, 10 through 14. Colossians 3. You guys sticking with me here? Colossians 3. Okay. Colossians 3, 10 through 14, and reads this. In its place, you have clothed yourself with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ, who created this new nature within you. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people whom He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And the most important piece of clothing you must wear is love. Love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony. In perfect harmony. I want to say this about the forgiveness. Obviously, the Lord said that it is essential. It's not something that he's requesting. It is essential for us to forgive one another to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And this is what helps me. Basically, if you're at the kingdom, at the gates before the Lord, and with another person, and you have something against this brother or sister that may have even done you wrong or whatever, odds are the other person doesn't even realize that they hurt you. I mean, half the time they don't, and they're not the ones that are carrying it around. We are, as we carry unforgiveness around. Let me ask you this, who's the person that's going to get in the gate? The person with the unforgiveness or the person over there that's clueless about the whole situation? It's the person that's clueless about the whole situation. He has no grudge on anyone. You're the only one that's holding the grudge. So it's essential that we need to take and deal with those things, especially if you need to go and confront someone and bring it to their attention and talk. But we need to deal with those things because it's a mandatory thing that Christ demands from us. So we need to be ready at all times to go to the throne, to go into the kingdom. I mean, we could be taken at any time. Not only talking about the rapture, but what if we just die of a heart attack like 5 minutes from now? Well, you want to make sure your house is clean. There's no unforgiveness hanging out there. It's not worth it. It's not worth your time or energy. Anyways, that being said, I'd like to take a look at the New Covenant, which obviously the New Covenant was put forth with the blood of Christ. Because as he broke bread with the disciples in the Last Supper, he broke the bread and he said, "This is my body given for you." And then he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood," which is the New Covenant. The New Covenant with you, okay? And I want to get some scripture on this New Covenant, and I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Or better yet, you know what? I'll quote this one to you, so you don't need to turn there. Hang on. 2 Corinthians 3, 6 says, "He is the one who has enabled us to represent his New Covenant." He is the one that has enabled us to represent his New Covenant. Okay? This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old ways end in death. And the new way, the Holy Spirit gives us life. The Holy Spirit gives us life and enables us to give life as Jesus, in Jesus' name. It's a beautiful thing. And the new commandment of the New Covenant. I want to bring you there, and we will read this one together. So turn with me to John chapter 13. This is the new commandment that Jesus gave us for this new covenant. John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 34. So, is everybody there? I cheated. I put little markers in my Bible. So I'm like, I'm flipping right to these things. And you poor guys are like, hang on. Anyways, okay. John 13, verse 34 says this. "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Has anyone caught that? I mean, I'm sure that most of you may have already noticed that. But what did the Old Covenant say? Anyone? What's that? Eye for an eye. Love one another as you love who? Yourself. Yourself. Love one another as you love yourself. That's why Jesus is sitting here saying, this is actually a new commandment. He says, I want you to love each other the way I love you. That's a tall order. This word here is agape, and we all know what that one is. That's the God kind of love. It's not only agape, it's agapeo. It's a verb, it's an action. The King James many times translates it as charity, because they need to put legs on the love. Because it's not just, oh, I love you, it's an action. And this agape love only flows one way. There is no two ways about this kind of love. Phileo love is, you know, the brotherly love that flows both ways. I do for you, you do for me, I do for you, and we're all happy. That works both ways. The eros loves, all the other kind of loves, the eros and all the other words for love in the Greek flow both ways. But the agape love flows one way. One way. It doesn't ever expect anything in return. It's the God kind of love, the agapeo. Comes from God, and it must come vertically before it can go horizontally. Agapeo is a very special kind of word and a very special kind of love. It wasn't even in existence till Jesus came down. The Holy Spirit literally took love and put love, the seed of love, into Mary's womb, as we know, who is Jesus Christ. But that's a beautiful thing. He brought a God kind of love with him, then revealed the God kind of love through his life. It's a sacrificial love of action that flows one way, never expecting anything in return. It's beautiful. So he's telling us, I want you to love one another that way. That's a tall order, and I know what you're thinking. Ain't no way we could do that. But I want to encourage you with a verse. Romans. Take a look at Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Let's turn there real quick. I want you to see this. And most of you are familiar with this verse, but I want to look at it again. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The hope make us not ashamed, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. This same word love here is the agape love. The love of God is shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. The Word of God says you can do it. And I know me, my first instinct is no way can I do that. But you have to take the God's word over your own and over anybody else's. And we need to just start performing the love. The best place to find this kind of love is 1 Corinthians 13, and I think it starts in verse 4 and it goes down to verse 8. It gives you a perfect definition of love. But anyways, that is the love of the new covenant. And I'd like to wrap it up, the new covenant and the born again experience, the new life, with Hebrews 10. Chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Let's go ahead and I'll turn there. This one. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, and reads this. So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because the blood of Jesus. I love this. I love this, that we can enter the most holy place. He's talking about the most holy place in the temple. This is the new life-giving way, the new life-giving way, catch that, that Christ has opened up for us through the sacred curtain by means of his death, the curtain that was between the holy place and the most holy place. He has opened it up and brought us into the most holy place as the curtain was torn. Remember, after Christ rose again, the curtain was torn. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's people, let us go right into the presence of God with true hearts, fully trusting him. For our evil consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. Here we are again, our new covenant there. And let us not neglect our meeting together, and I'm just going to throw this in. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming again is drawing so near. And we know that that's so true. The day of his coming back is so close. And I wanted to cover that because we all we need to know that we do need to be here in church. And it isn't a request of God. He says right here, actually in the King James, I think it says, forsake not the gathering of the church. So if we're believers and we believe the word of God, then it takes precedence. I mean, you don't have to go to church to be born again, but we have to come to church because we believe the word of God is true and it's good for us. We need to be here. We need to encourage one another to walk in the love and everything else. And you know, we perform the gifts with each other and we mature with each other as we come together in this place. It's really beautiful to watch the church grow together. Okay, so we've covered the mercies being new every day, the new covenant as a result of the new mercies being made every day, and the result is our born again new nature. All right, now what comes springing forth as we are set on fire for Christ? What happens to us? I mean, we get excited and we praise the Lord, right? We praise the Lord. And I just want to share some Psalms with you on this because I found something very interesting about our worshiping the Lord together. And I'm going to quote a few verses and then we're going to turn to a couple on this. And since it's new, I'm focusing on new songs, but obviously you read the Psalms and you see praising the Lord and singing Him songs throughout the whole thing. But we're going to focus on singing a new song. Psalm 149:1 says this, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. And Psalm 33:3 says, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. And Psalm 98:1 says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. Does anybody ever just sing to the Lord? You know, like just driving down the street. Got some people over there. It's really neat. He does cause us to sing new songs, you know. Or, you know, you're just getting ready in the morning and you just start praising the Lord and you just sing whatever he puts on your heart, whatever you're grateful for that day. But we do. As we get grateful and we're filled with the Spirit, we sing new songs to Him, and it's really pretty neat. But then, as we come together and we corporately praise and worship Him, and I like to call it praise because worship is actually more of a lifestyle, more so than praising the Lord. Worship is living for the Lord the way that He wants us to live for Him. That's worshiping because worship literally means worth-ship. Worth-ship. That's what all worship really means at its root. What do you place worth on? If you place worth on the Word of God and you believe the Word of God, you will do the Word of God, and therefore you worship Him with your life. You know, praise, we get together and we sing. That's sing-song. It's an outward expression of what's going on the inside of us as we're worshiping. Anyway, so let's turn to Psalm 40, verse 3. I really want you to see this. This is interesting. Psalm 40, verse 3. I'm going to wait till you guys go ahead and get on over there, right in the middle of your Bibles, Psalm 40, verse 3. Psalm 40, verse 3. Says this, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Isn't that something? I don't think I've ever even seen that in there, in his word before. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Just simply by seeing your worship or your praise of the Lord, they will come to fear and trust him. That's something. I've never seen that in the word of God before. That's exciting. You know, as someone comes in, you're teaching them how to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom, exactly. And wisdom is the application of knowledge. That's all that is. And so that's beautiful. That's neat. Anyways, turn with me to Psalm 96, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 96, just over a couple pages, 4 or 5 pages or something like that. Psalm 96, 1 and 2. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. A new song. Unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. How are we showing forth his salvation from day to day? We're praising him. We're praising the Lord. And we're worshiping him with our life. We're worshiping the Lord with our life, and we're outwardly praising him as a result of our worship. And that is showing forth our salvation. Who is it showing it to? I mean, it's showing it to the world. It's showing your salvation to the world. And then, in as we read in verse 43, many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. That's something. That's really neat. And, you know, we do. We sing new songs in here. We have our group of songs that we do, because we want to do them over and over, so that way they stick into our hearts. As many of you know, that we do them over and over, but we also sprinkle in the new songs in there as well. Many that even Kathy and Jessica have actually produced, that the Lord produced through them as they were praising the Lord. So anyways, all that being said, that's the new songs that come forth as a result of the new covenant and the born-again experience, and what comes out? New songs. Okay? Now, I'd like to go ahead and take a minute to take a look at the new heavens and the new earth. All right? What happens? Okay, now that we're singing the new songs, we're born again, and this time in history, what happens next? I mean, what's next for the church? We all know rapture. We're raptured up out of here. We're raptured up out of here. We spend 7 years with the Lord, and that is going to be exciting. Isn't that going to be something? My gosh. Oh, just to even see the things in heaven, and that the Lord has prepared. He's spent around 2,000 years or something like that, and he formed the world inside of like 6 days, and then on the seventh he rested. So 2,000 years of preparing heaven for us. And he guaranteed, he said, I wouldn't go away. Behold, I prepare a place for you, but I'm coming back to bring you to this place. How excited he must be. He must be just dying to come down and rapture us up. At the same token, he's dying so that everybody come in, of course, you know, because the Lord, his mercy is new every day, and his mercy extends to all the earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Anyways, let's take a look at the new heavens and the new earth. And I want to take a look at this in the Old Testament real quick, so that we can see how long that the Lord has been preparing this. And then we'll take a look in the New Testament. Isaiah 65, 17. Let's turn there and look there. Isaiah 65, to the left there. Or actually, we're in Psalms right now, right? Okay. Isaiah 65, 17. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. Says this, look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth, so wonderful that no one will even think about the old ones anymore. Isn't that awesome? Look, he says, look. I am creating a new heavens and a new earth, so wonderful that no one will even think about the old ones anymore. That's wonderful. I mean, if you really think about it, this world is really not that bad. I mean, if you look at the way that nature is, the trees, the grass, the shrubs, the mountains, the ocean, the rivers, the beauty, the animals, you know, it's a beautiful place. He's saying that this is going to be so wonderful, you won't even think about the old world or the, you know, or the heaven anymore. It's going to be so wonderful. That's amazing. That's pretty hard to get your arms around. Anyways, let's turn to Isaiah 66, verse 22. Isaiah 66, verse 22. Says this, as surely as my new heavens and new earth will remain, so will you always be my people with a name that will mean, that will never disappear, says the Lord. As surely as my new heavens and new earth will remain, so will you always be my people with a name that will never disappear, says the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Did I leave off at the rapture? I wanted to say the rapture happens, then he comes back down here, and then starts the thousand-year millennial reign. The new heavens and the new earth is actually after the thousand-year millennial reign. I think that's where I meant to go. I think I stopped at the rapture, so just to kind of clarify that. Anyways, okay, so let's get some New Testament on the new heavens and the new earth. 2 Peter. Jump over to your right in your scriptures to 2 Peter, verse 3, verse 13. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 13. Says this, we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth, he has promised. As wood, here everyone is right with God. So dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to live a pure and blameless life and be at peace with God. That's our thing. So while we are waiting for the new heavens and the new earth to happen, we have to take every effort to be at peace with God. And how do we do that? I mean, I really believe that we do that through seeking his face. And obviously that we receive that through his scripture. But anyway, so let's turn to Revelation chapter 21 now and take a look at the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem and all the wonderful things to look forward to here. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, the home of God is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will remove all their sorrows, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. Hallelujah on that. For the old world and its evils are gone forever. Amen. Praise God. We have an awful lot to look forward to. As we approach this new year, 2007, and we look at all the new things that the Lord has done and is going to do, as a Christian, this is the most exciting thing that we can even think about, is that his mercies are new every day. That is in itself something that we can just look forward to each and every day. The result of his mercies is the new covenant. Why did he have to have mercy on the new covenant? Because we couldn't keep the old covenant. The old covenant is based on the law. We can't keep the old covenant. That's why he had to create the new covenant. That's based on his mercy. He created a way for us with him doing all the work, and all we have to do is receive it. It's beautiful. As a result, we become new. We get the new life, and we put on the new man. Now, I know that sometimes when we come here after we've been working all day, like on a Wednesday night, and it feels like you're dragging the old man along, and you're being obedient to the Spirit, and your old man's hanging onto your ankle, and you're going, no, I'm going to go to church because I have to. We know that we have to, right? That's why we wind up here. But praise the Lord. because his mercies are new every day. And we can go ahead and we can crack that whip on that body and beat it into submission and make it obedient to the Spirit of God, which wants to bring us into church you know, so that we can might grow as we fellowship with one another. And then I'd like to end with this. Revelations 21, verse 5. And the one sitting on the throne said, look. What does he say? I am making all things new. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, huh? Behold, I am making all things new. He is the creator of all things new. Everything that's new in our lives, he is the creator of. All the new things that you actually, that you experience in your life. Because, you know, life gets a little, you get in a little rut, and he brings new things in to actually spice up your life a little bit. He brings the new seasons in. Don't we love how the seasons change? Just when you're getting so sick and tired of summer and it always being hot. Boom. Then winter comes in and you get to put different clothes on, different new clothes for the new weather out there and everything. And he mixes up. He knows that we need new. He knows that. And as Pastor Mark says, he actually puts that adventure into our lives to keep us excited, you know? And so I just wanted to bring that home, that all things new. As we approach a new year, we just need to praise and thank the Lord for making all the things that are new in our lives, for being, you know, for his mercies being new, for the new covenant, for the new life that we get to walk in. And we get the new mercies every day to walk in the new life and the new heavens and the new earth to look forward to, which are so wonderful that they're going to blow this world away. We aren't even going to think about this world. That's something. And then the new Jerusalem. How about the Jerusalem during the millennial reign? Has anybody thought about that? All the kings from all over the world will gather there once a year and kneel before the Lord God Almighty, Jesus on the throne of God. That is going to be awesome, an awesome picture. Have you ever been in a crowd that big? The whole world is going to come together and kneel before the Lord. Once a year, we're going to gather around and say, King Jesus, you know, kneel down on our knees before him like we should be. You know, that's new. That's going to be exciting. We don't experience that today, except unless we come into church. That's the only way we get any of that. But oh, glory be to God, when all of us from all over the world, they will come. They will. They won't have a decision. They won't have a choice of the matter at that time in history. Praise God and hallelujah. With all that, let's go ahead and pray. Oh, Father, Lord Jesus, we are excited about the new things that you're doing, that you have done, and that you're doing in and through our lives, even this life right now. We look forward to what you're going to do in each and every one of our lives here. And we just praise your name. Lord, we look forward to it. For behold, he has a future and a hope for you. Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you for that. Just pray that you will be with each one here, Father. Go home with us. Show us your ways. Reveal your face to us. May your presence be fulfilled in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless and keep each one of you. Amen.